welcome to the study of the Word of God from the portion of Torah which is allotted for today, which is, as you know, everybody knows, Parasha Shoftim. It's from the book of Devarim, chapter 16, verse 18, through chapter 21, verse 9. And just before I start to give some thoughts from this parasha, let me bring you greetings from the assembly in Cluj, in a big town of Cluj, 500,000, and also from my hometown, Oradea, where a new synagogue will come, I think, soon.
Amen.
Will come forth. It was because the building where we were gathering was demolished. We had been scattered, but now it seems that the members want to be reunited. So we have motives to praise the Lord because he is at work all the time. Every time he works with power in our life, and also in this town of Cluj-Napoca, which is a very cosmopolitan town of Romania, there is quite hard to work, but not impossible. Mm. Not impossible. All the time we try to find motives of complaint. This is hard, this is complicated, this is troublesome. Yeah, but we must dare because our God, our Yeshua, he deserves that we listen to his voice and do what his commandments were given to us. My hometown is appointed by BBC TV as the most beautiful town in Romania. Oh, they only didn't ask me. I give them exact details about it. Yeah, but it's nice. It's peaceful, and they are living mostly three nations which live in harmony. This town was very populated with Jewish population, 30,000 inhabitants. And now Oradea is the second biggest Jewish community in Romania after the capital, after Bucharest. I used to be with our Orthodox brothers, I can call them brothers, yeah. Many times I go there, and when I step in the secretary office where the president is and the staff is there, there is one lady, an old lady, who she survived the Holocaust. I think she is 92 years old. And when I come into that office, she says, "Oh, here is the one who brings the peace." And she says that whenever you come here into our office, this is filled with peace. I said, look, it is not me who brings the peace. It is the one whom I represent. Yeah, yeah. And she says, "I know what you mean. I know what you mean." Yeah, that's good for the point that she knows what I mean. Do you know why I love to come to the synagogue? Because here we hear the good news. Amen. Good news and interesting news of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe we are the whole day surrounded with fake news, mm-hmm. with disaster news, with poisonous news, which are coming via CNN, Facebook, whatever, BBC also, mm-hmm. yeah. And many, many other media channels. But in the house of the Lord, we have the Word of God, which is a food for our soul, and made like that be today for us. I will go to the parasha, and we come to study some issues, some ideas from this parasha, because all the time the Lord has something to tell us. Never he has old things, bad things. He has good things, new things, encouraging things for our life. Yesterday we have just heard that 10 virgins were sleeping. But the difference in between 5 of them and the other 5 of them was that 5 of them had oil. Oil in for their lamps. 5 in Judaism means grace. Grace. And the 5 virgins who had the oil, they are saved. They meet Yeshua when he's coming, and so they will be happy with Yeshua for an everlasting life. I remember that I think 2 years ago I was ministering to a non-believer. Yeah, it's hard to find a way of communication, and I was speaking about this parable about the 10 virgins, and I did my best to explain to him how this is a testimony about God, about our calling to be saved, and so on and so on. He doesn't seem to listen very, very attentive. When I finished my testimony to him, I asked him, "Now, what is your decision? Would you like to be saved and to be like the 5 virgins with the oil, or not saved?" And he said, "Look, you have only 10 virgins, but the Muslims have 72. So what should I choose, to be Muslim?" Yeah. I said, "Look, it's totally different. It's not the same. It's not the same. These 5 are wise virgins, and those 72 doesn't even exist." Yeah. "But why do they say so?" "Because you listen to the false media. That's why you are taken astray." Yeah. The last week we have studied Parasha Re'e, which means look. Look. It's an imperative, look or see. We have seen that till now, till the Parasha Re'e, we have already heard that God says, "Listen, Shema Israel, listen, listen, listen," all the time. But now the word of God comes by sight. They see. The people of Israel commanded by through Moses that when they go into the land in Canaan, then they pronounce curses from the Mount Ebal and blessings from Mount Gerizim. And this is like a big stage in the nature where you can see the Torah and you can have your choice. Do you choose life, the blessing, or death, the curses? And so till now, we've seen that God comes to you by listening, by hearing, by seeing, by sight. But he comes also by handling, by touching. Also by touching, not only by listening or by seeing. And in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it's written, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of Life have handled, have touched the Messiah, Yeshua. Oh, still not enough? The Word of God, God Himself is coming to you by taste, if it's not enough. And Psalm 34 verse 8 reads, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Or in Hebrew, "Ta'amu uruki tov, tov Adonai." Hallelujah. He is good. He tastes good. Not only the Lord tastes good, but also the commandments that He has given to us also, they taste good. As we read in Psalm 19, verse 10, "More to be desired are they," I mean the law of God, "than the gold, sweeter than honey and honeycomb." And finally, we feel the Lord by smelling. In Shir HaShirim, Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 13, it's written, "His cheeks are like bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies dripping liquid myrrh." In the past, when there was no Bible written, printed, the only way to have to get to know God was by inspecting the nature around, or looking at ourselves, how nice we are, how perfect our body is functioning. Also, we are invited, as we read in chapter 1 of the Epistle to the Romans, verse 19 and 20, that we must look attentively at the nature around us, because that is a testimony about, a witness about God. Yeah, in the Bible we have a whole book called Shoftim, that is Judges. Every time the people of Israel departed from God, the punishment of the Lord came over them, and God saved them by giving them brave judges who eventually saved them. Some of them we know and remember, like Othniel, Deborah, Gideon, Yephthah, Shimshon, that is Samson, and others as 12 judges. But in Parashah Shoftim, we find some rules which will establish God's order in the Israel society when they go into the country, in the country which is flooded with honey and milk. But in every given law, even every given commandment, we understand and we see there hidden in the text, there is the Son of God. Amen. When we read about Shoftim, about the judges, immediately we think about the great judge who is Yeshua. It is an allusion about the best judge, about Yeshua, our supreme master, judge, our Lord, our Savior. In Devarim, chapter 16, verse 18, God speaks to Moshe like this, "Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'areicha. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your gates." Well, we may have a whole book of Shoftim, but there is no book of Shotrim. Yeah. However, we find the Shotrim in Egypt, when those officers who were appointed to supervise the Jews as they were producing bricks, and there was the Jewish officers who were appointed by Pharaoh over them to supervise them. Now the big question is why these Shoftim and Shotrim must be appointed in the gates and not in the city hall, or in the city, in the center of the city. No. In the kingdom of God, things doesn't go like in the other, in the world. In the kingdom of God, important things, important decisions are made in the gate, at the gate. And we remember about Yaakov, when he was escaping from his brother Esav. Eventually, after he had a long journey, he slept on a stone, and he was dreaming about a ladder which was touching the heavens. And after he woke up, he was in a spirit of awe. He was thinking, what I have dreaming, what words I have heard. There was the promise of the Lord who stood above the ladder, that the land on which you are standing, or what you are sleeping on, that will be given to you and to your descendants forever. And when Yaakov, we have Yaakov here with us. You can tell me more about his dreams. Yeah. So when he woke up, he was afraid, and he said to himself, how dreadful is this place. Here is the house of the Lord. Here are the gates of the heaven. The gate of the heaven. And see what decision what has been made at the gate of the heaven. Heaven, inheritance, everlasting life, descendants, and many more protection when he will come back home, and so on and so forth. Other places where important decisions are made at the gate, we find in the book of Ruth. You remember that Ruth and Naomi, they came back from Moab, and their Boaz, the rich man Boaz, took. Oh, you are a rich man. Oh, for you. I'm your friend.
You're a bit of laugh.
There Boaz took over the inheritance, and so Ruth became his wife, and so from this lineage we have Yeshua, the descendant of Ruth and Boaz. Gate is very important also because we read in Psalm 122, our feet have been standing with your within your gates, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And the fifth verse reads, for thrones are set there for judgment. Look, gate are always twinned to judgment, to important decisions what are to be made. Well, this commandment of appointing judges and shoftim and shotrim will be revived in the kingdom of Yehuda by the king Josaphat, as we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 5 through 9. But back to this passage of scripture, a special rule is given to the appointed Shoftim and Shotrim in verse 16, verse 19. You should not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. You nor take a bribe, for the bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. how happy would be my country if we had such kind of judges. There is scareful what the corruption is at this level. They have big salaries, and however, they are so greedy that they want more. They want more. And as we read in the writings of Seneca, he says, corruption causes nation to disappear. Corruption. Corruption makes the country a place which cannot be inhabited, because it's full of thieves, robbers, criminals, whatever. They are not afraid, because there is no law. And if it's there, there is a law, you can bribe the judge and you are free. You are clean. Yeah. As always, Torah surprises us by the way as the message are transmitted. In verse chapter 16, verse 20, the word tzedek is repeated twice. There is written, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof. Just, just, you shall follow. But this repetition gives the idea that it is not enough for the shoftim or the shotrim to seek righteousness, but also that they must, the righteousness must be done through honest means. This is so important. But because the Israelites, by that time, did not listen to the words of God, they have been taken into slavery in Babylon. There, some of them eventually have repented when they saw how cruel the punishment is. And we all know that only two tribes came back to Israel. 10 tribes are lost. But those 10 tribes, I'm sure they are not lost. Yeah. Because God, He knows. He knows. And today, we see here and there emerging clever people within the nations. And the question is, maybe that clever man is Jewish. But he lives there. He lives there. I live in Romania. They live in Moldova. Some live in Colombia. Here I see my Colombian brother. And God knows where everybody is. He sees me. He sees you. He looks at our righteousness. Are we correct in this life? In this world there is no justice, there is no equity, but brothers and sisters, good news, the judgment is drawing near. The judgment of the world is drawing near, coming soon, as you see in the media, coming soon, big news, big lies, but this is big truth. Everything happening around us shows that our Yeshua is at the door. Yeah. Knock, knock, knock. He's there. And my mother would always tell me, when you want to know what will happen next year or from now in 10 years, just look at Israel. But Israel is giving us what's happening to Israel, gives us the clue to all secret questions. There is no secret by God. He has His own secret which He will give us in the glorious day. But till now we are called to be righteous because our judge is righteous. And we must look at our own life, not to be corrupted like the judges of today, like the politicians, like the whole world, what is around us, but we must be correct in whatever it takes in our life. We have some Psalms, Psalm 9 verse 8, 96 verse 10, 96 verse 13, 98 verse 8 and 9, all say the same thing. And let me quote just from Psalm 98 verses 8 and 9. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together because the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and peoples with equity. That is a genuine judge, not the false judges what we are used to till now. In our congregation, in Cluj, Beit Shalom is the congregation, and we thought that this would be a good name for the congregation, because we want that the Shalom of Yeshua to be the most important word there in the congregation. So our decision is that anytime when some conflictual things will emerge, we will do our best to get it smooth, to get it clean, and to arrange it, not to destroy the congregation. Because this noise, this turbulence are destroying congregations. And for this, God gave me special commandments that you shall do peace in your congregation. Hallelujah. So in our congregation, we now are studying, a cycle of studying from the book of Revelation. And we have a visitor. He is a professor in the University of this town, of Cluj. And he is a believer. But he said to me, he came to me when it was finished, he came straight to me and embraced me and kissed me. And I said, what is happening? And he said, I never knew that our Lord can be seen in the Torah. Yeah, nobody told us about these ideas, how you explain to us from the Torah. So it is more and more interesting to see him from the hidden place, from the past. How it speaks from the past to us at the present days. So he asked me, can I be here a member in this community? I said, of course you can be a member. If you are happy here, he said that he is always waiting for the next time when we have the meeting, and he is the first to be there all the time. Yeah. But in this book of Revelation, in chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, there we see another kind of gate, that the throne of God is in the gate. And there it reads that, let me quote John has written, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in the heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat on, was to look upon like jasper and sardium stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed with white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. the lightning, the thunder, and the voices are all the manifestations of judgment. Judgment from the Lord. And where is it? In the gate. What is the gate? It is an arch made by the Hakeshet, about the rainbow. And there was the seat of judgment. And the question is, for this world, for our and for ourselves, do we prefer the still, small, peaceful voice of God, what Elijah experienced when he was escaping from Jezebel, the wife of Ahab? Or we want the judgment, I mean the lightning, the thundering? I think these are not for us, because we have given our hearts to Yeshua. And when we made a commitment to him, that must be forever. And it is written in the Gospel of John that those who believe in me do not come to the judgment, because they have passed from death to life.
Amen.
And not any kind of life. We have an everlasting life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The great judge is speaking us in this is to live another kind of life, not a type which we see around us in the world, but devoted to God. And there was an apostle, Peter, the fisher, and he tells us in his first epistle in chapter 4, verse 3, "For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." That is the past. Now we have to bear fruit for our Lord. In this parasha, in chapter 20, verse 19, there is a very interesting statement that man is like a tree, or rather a tree like a man. But it's equal. And we know that a man of God, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. So, question is, where is my fruit? Where is your fruit? A man is like a tree, well rooted in the Word of God, that is in his Son, in the Son of God, the living water. Another chapter of this parasha is the law for the king. I will make it shorter because the time is running. Yeah. The law for the king. It's written here in Deuteronomy in Devarim 17, verse 18 and further. When he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren. This is so important. I like this verse, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren. When somebody is appointed in a higher degree, like for example, just intern rabbi or full power rabbi, don't do this, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren.
Amen.
The success a successful congregation is based on humility. We must learn from the Lord humility. When we will do that, people will love us. When we put on airs, when we boast, then we'll be hated. And the congregation will have no chance. It is important also how we minister to others. Recently, I was ministering for a while for a couple of men, husband and wife. And I was talking to them about the God of Israel. I was talking about Israel itself, like Medinat Israel, the country of Israel. And they said, you are telling this so nice that we want to go there. We have been in all countries, but not in Israel. So may we join to you in your next trip. And we have been there 1 month ago. And just imagine, these two are not non-believers. And when we arrived in Ben Gurion, and we went around, yeah, we were taken to the hostel in Jerusalem. Yeah, they looked around. Here it's another kind of landscape. And the non-believer lady, she said, here every stone speak about God. I'm afraid, she said. I told them, I was warning you from home, from Romania, that this is to happen. Yeah. I saw her husband weeping. I saw, what, have you some bad news from home? He said, I'm not worthy to come in this holy land. Oh, wow. Yeah. I said, but prepare for tomorrow, because you wanted to go to the Kotel, Kotel Hamariv, to the wall. And eventually we went to the hall, to the wall, and there, as they were drawing near, they saw a lot of people there, and the people, the rabbis there praying at the wall. The man, he said, I'm afraid, I cannot go there. I'm so afraid. I said, look, put on the kippah and come with me, because you cannot be afraid of God. It's true that the Spirit of God there is very powerful. And every time I go there, I'm so, it's so awesome. Yeah. And I took him by the hand and we went to the wall. And there he was trembling. He was weeping. He was weeping with, I don't know, a crocodile. Like I never saw before. He said, I like to be here, but I'm afraid, he said. Yeah. Look, God is here. You must know that God is here. But how do you know that God is here? I said, look, in the book of Shir HaShirim, chapter 2, verse 9, it's written, our beloved is behind the wall, and he is watching us. He's watching us. And the man asked me, and he sees my life? I said, yes, he sees your life. I'm dirty, he said. And he was weeping very hard. And after we came back home, he is a changed person. This had such an impact on his life. And here I am to tell you that it's very important to put energy in bringing people to God.
Amen.
Because we must bear fruit.
Amen.
God bless you and help you to do and to listen to God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.